Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Even More News. My name's Katie Stoll.
That's not news.
No, it's not. It's just the truths.
My name is Cody Johnston.
Cody Johnston, yeah. Everybody.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say, before we get started, I'm not feeling my best. If you follow me on Twitter, you know that. But I'm here because the show must go on.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have understudies.
On Twitter.
You know, so we're here. We're doing it. And then I'll go to urgent care after this.
Yes, you will, probably.
But in the meantime, I want to wish everybody a very happy National Cheeseball Day. And it also happens to be National Haiku Day.
Wow.
What? Wow. If you guys follow me on Twitter, you also knew that. I asked you to submit some of your cheeseball haikus to celebrate this beautiful day.
Yeah.
And you did. You complied. And there were so many great ones. But I chose a few.
What fun. Complying.
Yeah. I'm not going to, you know, make this all about cheeseball haikus, though we could.
Yeah.
But this first one comes from Kathleen Sawiski. Hi, Kathleen. And her haiku goes, "This cheese, soft and round, rolled in nuts and placed on plates, dig in with crackers." Beautiful. Perfect.
Beautiful,
haiku.
Yeah.
Artistic.
Mm-hmm.
This one's very artistic.
A plus,
Kathleen. My name's also Kathleen, by the way.
Oh.
It's fun fact. I'm not a Caitlin. I'm a Kathleen.
That is a fun fact.
This one's very poetic as well, from Nathaniel J. Ward. "Cherry tree blossoms with balls of cheese melted slow. The moon weeps envy." Wow.
A plus.
Beautiful.
A plus.
We only give out A pluses here.
No, you can get an F minus.
Okay, well, let's see. Hopefully not for the next one. Next one comes from Wayne Jetsky, otherwise known as our friend Ty. Hi, Ty.
Mm.
"Happy to live in the kind of place where cheese balls are celebrated. Simple to the point." He submitted many more.
A plus.
But we just have time for one.
Yeah, the other one's F minus.
Okay.
But that one
failed.
That one's A plus.
Average of a C. And the last one I'm going to read today comes from Colin Hinckley. Hi, Colin. "Balls of cheese, but where? Fallen off my plate, I fear. Under the couch. Gone. Better go find those cheese balls."
A plus.
But you don't want cheese balls rotten underneath
your
couch.
Oh, yeah. F minus situation there.
Yeah,
like
totally
a real F minus type situation.
And depending on how long it's been under there, I guess you could still eat it, but I wouldn't recommend it.
Don't.
Well, Cody definitely
just don't.
Wouldn't. But,
no.
You know, you don't want your dog getting in that, your cat, your bunny rabbit, whatever it is that you happen to
Chinchilla.
Have. You know, you don't want ants coming.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to share that cheese ball. Just get it. Get it underneath there. Fish it out.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, guys, for playing.
Yeah, that was
the game. That was fun.
That was the news.
And we'll see you guys next week. Oh, no, we got to do
that
an ad.
That couldn't possibly be true.
Speaking of haikus, here's an ad in haiku form. Also, the real ad.
A plus.
That was submitted from Cody. Today's episode of Even More News is supported by Fabletics, who is offering our listeners two leggings for only $24, a $99 value, when they sign up to be a VIP by going to fabletics.com/morenews.
Worst haiku I've ever read or heard.
F minus to the haiku. A plus to the ad.
Too many syllables. My goodness.
A little bit of housekeeping. Before we get into the...
We're going to talk about the news
right. Eventually. First up, guys, we are updating our Patreon to have new tiers.
Yeah.
We launched a Discord for you guys. And I think that starts at the $15 tier, or it will be soon. So that's really exciting. We also are going to be launching a merch store soon, probably in the next month or so. We're actually working on new logos and a new background for the show because ours is falling apart.
Yeah.
So once we get that locked in, we're going to be having the store, and then we're going to do a little contest for people that want to submit things for the store, and we'll vote on it.
Yeah.
And it'll be fun.
It will be fun. A lot of cool stuff. You may notice the backdrop in some of the episodes, but like slowly deteriorating.
It's like ripping at the side.
You might notice some rips every once in a while. Half of that is on purpose, and it's totally a metaphor, and you got it. The other half is it's old and it's falling apart. Mm-hmm. We need a new one.
Half of it's on purpose?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to try to make it on purpose.
Mm.
It just depends on how you want to spin it.
On purpose.
Spin Master Cody.
A plus.
And one more thing before we get into the news. Guys, it's only been a few minutes. Calm down. Well, for the next 6 weeks, we're going to be discussing Game of Thrones at the end. So if, you know, you love the show, but you haven't watched it yet. Well, first of all, what's going on? Are you okay? Why haven't you watched it yet? But you should skip unless you like spoilers. But, you know, also if you just flat out hate Game of Thrones, what's going on, man? Are you okay? Is everything okay? You doing all right? Mm. But you should also probably skip it because you'll probably be annoyed. Mm. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to go.
Yeah.
I know I'm looking more forward to that than to talking about the news.
Yeah. Like, so this was, I wasn't necessarily on board with this idea.
Don't throw me under the bus.
I'm not. No, we're doing it and it's going to be fun and exciting. I'm saying that it's like a nice treat. Like, you've been really excited to talk about it.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a nice little treat at the end. We're going to talk about some more fun stuff, some things that we like.
Yeah.
And it's exciting.
Yeah, some more Thrones.
Yeah.
Whatever it is that we call it.
So I'm saying I was on board right away, but like, I get it.
Yeah.
We're doing it.
I mean,
there's no way around it.
All I can say is I was nervous with excitement before this episode on Sunday. I literally had butterflies. And whether or not the show lived up to my hopes and dreams, we'll get to it.
Yeah. Seems like a time.
For now, we're going to talk about the news. For now, more specifically, we're going to talk about Julian Assange.
Oh.
Yeah.
What a transition.
Do you know who that is?
I'm familiar.
Julian Assange, the founder of WikiLeaks.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
Okay, well, Julian was arrested in the Ecuadorian embassy in London last Thursday and is currently facing extradition back to the United States and also charges for hacking the U.S. military.
Allegedly
hacking the U.S. military and, you know, releasing a treasure trove. I think it's the biggest data breach ever, yeah. If not one of. Authorities say Assange conspired with former Army intelligence analyst Chelsea Manning, at that point, Bradley.
Free Chelsea Manning.
Free Chelsea Manning, to steal and publish classified documents, including, just tons of different communications, but also a video which showed the U.S. Army killing a dozen unarmed civilians and two Reuters employees. You guys.
One could call it an atrocity.
You could call that, lots of us do.
Yeah.
Prosecutors are saying that Assange helped Manning crack a password to access military computers where the information was stored, and also kept pressing her for more information, beyond the point when she was still comfortable. That's the case being made. I mean, that's like a real summed up version of the case being made. I think it's important when we're going into this conversation just to keep in mind as you're listening to all of this that it comes down to whether or not you consider him a journalist, from what I've been listening and reading, or whether or not you can consider just him a hacker that hacked it. I mean, that's
your opinion. Well, that's the case
they're making. Yeah, it's not the case that I'm making. I don't like Julian Assange. I think he's creepy, but I don't think that this is the thing that I want to get him for.
Well, this is, I think, like, not like a test, but I mean, he sucks. He is creepy. He's said a lot of like anti-Semitic stuff.
He's awful.
Like, he's said some really, really crappy things. He's done some crappy things, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't defend him or what you think that they're doing.
Like, right. So, we'll get more into that. A little bit more background here. Assange initially found asylum in the Ecuadorian embassy back in 2012 when he was escaping. England's High Court ruled against his appeal to avoid extradition to Sweden, where he was wanted for questioning in two separate sexual assault rape cases that were coming up against him. And then Sweden eventually had to close down that case because he had asylum and they couldn't get him out. Also, he was in trouble in Britain because with the whole WikiLeaks data dumps, there's also a code of conduct. Like, journalists that took the WikiLeaks information and was using it were actually going through a really complicated process of deciding which things can be included and which things can't to keep people's privacy and keep people safe and, you know, important diplomatic relations. And that's a difficult conversation to have.
Like,
where do you draw the line?
Yeah.
But then he just released it all and he put a lot of people in danger. Mm-hmm. So that's all part of this complicated issue here, is that he just went ahead and did it on WikiLeaks.
Even like Snowden, like, you go through and you're like, what's the safest way to do this? How do
exactly. Yeah. And he just did it.
Yeah.
After there'd always already been protracted conversations about what's the best way to deal with this and like negotiations. Mm-hmm. So that's all part of this complicated stew here. And then now, obviously, there's this whole Russia thing. And a lot of people that are really ardent supporters of freedom of speech and of Julian Assange. And I get that, you know, like we were just talking about. Now there's this. And that's fairly different, in my opinion. I mean, he was coordinating with a foreign government. Sure. To get someone elected. And that's something that we know is true. I mean, we haven't seen the Mueller report.
But also, we haven't seen the Mueller report.
I mean, we know it's true in that that's what we've been talking about the last couple of years.
Right,
I don't know.
But, there's the question of, the legality of it. Like, what did
right.
he do that was
illegal? What part of it was that, I think the part that would be illegal, and I'm not sure how provable it is how much coordination and to what extent with a foreign government to undermine the United States election,
but illegal to whom?
Because I mean, he's not an American, he's Australian. Listen, I'm not coming down on the side pro lock him up America. I'm just trying to sort through all of the information here.
I understand. Don't, you completely.
You understand me completely, huh?
Well, I think it's value. This is, I think, really good, because there's so many people out there now that are ardently he's a scumbag and I hate him, and he's the Putin guy, and he helped he helped the bad Trump man, and we got to put him away for the Trump helping man, and all that kind of stuff. And it's very extreme without considering all this other implications. And
right. And also, we don't know what exactly that means. I don't know to what extent.
Right. Well, and again, it's to what extent is it illegal or illegal?
Yes.
And to what extent is it that you're just mad at him, you know?
Right. To what extent do I think he's creepy, rapey,
right.
anti-Semitic?
And the rape stuff, that's a whole other issue, I think.
When WikiLeaks, when this was first happening, mm-hmm. we make him out to be a hero, a free speech warrior. Mm-hmm. But I actually don't think that he has some pure ideological vision. I think that he's kind of somebody that's sees himself as something and wants to be that guy. Mm-hmm. I think more and more of his actions that come forward, you start to get a clearer picture of you are kind of terrible. And yes, we need people. We need whistleblowers. We need people we need accountability and all of that. And that's why I don't think that he should go to prison
for
working with Chelsea Manning.
Yeah.
Who, Barack Obama pardoned. Mm-hmm.
Commuted her.
Yeah. Yes, I'm sorry. That's what I meant. Oh, the other thing most of the time with those whistleblower laws and things like that, and with Chelsea Manning, she was an actual government employee. Mm-hmm. This is a person.
Well, right. That's the thing. It's it's way more complicated than lock him up because you hate him,
right.
And that's what we're seeing a lot of, I think.
Right.
And I think that even that was a fair assessment. I think he views himself in a certain light and a certain way. And also, he should, to a certain extent. He's revealed a lot of atrocities that we wouldn't have known about otherwise, and that's invaluable. And this whole conversation of what is a journalist? Well, he exposed stuff that powerful governments didn't want exposed.
Is he a journalist or is he a source for journalists?
Sure.
But
what you're saying about how, he views himself as this, but I mean, there's definitely a lot of ego there, and picking and choosing. It was just reported that he chose to not take information from Russia, Russia, about the Russian government, which horrible things.
Right.
Not related to the election, actually horrible things. And so that picking and choosing is what's your goal?
Yeah. Do you really care about all this stuff? To what degree?
To what degree? I think,
degree?
Of course he does, but to what degree?
All right. So what happens now? Well, Julian's currently awaiting a sentencing in England for breaching his bail.
And a shave and a bath, right?
And a shave and his bath as he awaits U.S. extradition. Also, Sweden is now considering reopening the rape cases. And actually, over 70 British lawmakers have signed a letter urging their government to give priority to Sweden, which would be the best case scenario, I think. I mean, he might end up coming to the United States after that, but I'd like to see him go there. Also, I just happen to think it's funny why this is happening now. At the Ecuador embassy just got sick of him and his bullshit. Homie, homie is like skateboarding around the halls of the embassy. He had a soccer ball that they kept confiscating because he would just be kicking it against the walls in the courtyard, in the hallways. Mm-hmm. He has a cat that apparently, and this is unforgivable, that he wasn't taking care of. And they said that he wouldn't clean up his bathroom. Like, he sounds like a punk teenager.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why he's looked so bad, because he didn't want to shave in his gross ass bathroom.
I mean, yeah. Did he like smear like feces on the walls too?
I didn't hear that, but I'm sure that's true.
So a couple of things about this. Take care of your cat.
Take care of your cat. That's,
come on, man.
The cat.
The other stuff, I don't know, man. What, 8 years? You're in that embassy? 7 years? Oh, God.
Listen.
You're going to skateboard in the hallways. You're going to become a little punk again.
You're going to kick
a soccer ball.
Don't bite the hand
around
that feeds you. If they ask you not to and they confiscate your ball.
Didn't they cut off his internet, too? Give him his ball.
It's a place of business.
Clean your bathroom and take care of your cat.
That's wild to me. I can't even imagine. Yeah, I mean,
it's a really funny image. That guy skateboarding in the halls of like the embassy.
I don't have sympathy.
Isn't the sympathy part. This is just,
I know,
it's a really
funny
image.
But I'm just saying, he is wanted for sexual assault charges and is hiding in an embassy. You're lucky.
Yeah, I keep...
You keep forgetting part. It's not just the stuff
we're
talking about.
The why he's actually there.
He's not a good person. Like, I already explained that. I don't know. Maybe he is a good person and he's just misunderstood. Maybe.
I'm just more about the skateboarding
and
the soccer balls.
I understand. Also, it just makes me thinking of this time when I was in college a couple times, walking in the hallways.
Revealing the atrocities of the university.
Doing God's work. And some skateboarder comes hurtling down the hallway and plows into me. And it really hurt. And I'm so scared every time I hear a skateboard. So there's a real special place in, like that's a no-no for me. Do not skateboard indoors. Also, your kids with those shoes that pop wheels out. No, stop it. You know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about roller skates. I'm talking about those
shoes that pop out.
Check your kids' feet. They shouldn't be skating around the shopping mall or hallways.
Big brother checking your kids' feet.
No, big parent.
Wow.
Or sure, your big brother can do it. Have them do it. I don't care. I just think they're all willy-nilly running into strangers. And sure, they're cute, but now's not the time, guys. Okay, I've gotten too far off track. There's still a couple more Julian Assange points to make.
How many more skateboard shoes points? Though.
No, I'm done. I've done my little rants.
okay.
My Advil's kicking in. I'm feeling punchy, obviously. Real quick, though, when asked about the Assange arrest, President Donald J. Trump said, quote, "I know nothing about WikiLeaks. It's not my thing," which was a pretty serious about face from his previous position during the election, when he repeatedly said things like, "I love WikiLeaks," and "this WikiLeaks is like a treasure trove," and "boy, I love reading WikiLeaks," all quotes. Unbelievable.
First of all, when you said, I thought you were continuing the quote, "I know nothing about, like, it's not my thing," and then, like, just like him rambling on and on and on. At one point, he says the word WikiLeaks
WikiLeaks
so many times in a row. It's not even like, those are some choice quotes you got there.
Yeah.
But just like WikiLeaks, over and over and over
again. You're getting good at that.
Oh God,
Trump impression.
I'm disappointed in myself. Yeah, what a liar. Who cares?
Who cares? It's just, you know, what are we if we're not throwing Donald Trump into every story?
Mm-hmm. Healthy people.
Healthy people. You had some more points to make before we move on, right?
This is a really interesting aspect of this whole WikiLeaks thing, just because it's like a reverse mirror version of, like, the Comey firing stuff, where, because he praised Comey for a long time for his handling of the emails, and then he fired him allegedly because of the emails, but it was clearly about the Russia investigation. Mm-hmm. So like, then you have him praising these WikiLeaks. Now he's pretending that he doesn't know about them, but his DOJ is pursuing
this.
It's clearly a discussion that they've had.
He just wants to distance himself from anything Russia.
But also, like, this isn't the thing that people are like, "Oh yeah, go after him for that," the Russia thing.
Yeah.
He's not doing that.
No.
And he could play it like that if he wanted to. Get people on his side, probably. Right. Not that I'm giving him advice.
He doesn't listen. It's okay.
But he's not going after him because of that, or saying like, oh, he should face the music on those rape charges.
Right.
It's about the leaks. It's about leaking. It's about whistleblowers. And like we touched on a little earlier, the redefining what journalist means.
Right.
And that's real dangerous. First of all, like, yeah, he's published a lot. He's done the work. He's exposed things that powerful governments didn't want exposed. Mm-hmm. I would probably put that in a journalism-y kind of category.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
I mean, there are like reports from early on in the administration, them talking about his case specifically, and that's not like out of the ordinary. Like you said, like Obama discussed this before.
Didn't Obama choose not to?
They chose not to, yeah.
Right, but it's so that's always, also interesting.
Yes, but it's always been a topic of discussion right. for administration of like, should we pursue this? They decided not to. He's always been a topic. But they've been talking about doing this, the Trump administration, since the beginning, through the lens of cutting down on leaks and whistleblowers, because he hates the leakers and the whistleblowers right. and the deep state and all that kind of stuff. And so they're redefining what journalist means and trying to basically just set this precedent that can act as sort of a chilling effect mm-hmm. for other people, and open the door for other even worse, more egregious things, and like really cramping yeah. down on free speech and on yeah. On the press, which we all know that the yeah. president is real keen
no,
on.
It's a very dangerous thing to be happening now, especially with this president.
Yeah, like he one of the first things he said, aside from all the like the enemy of the people, Lugan presses stuff. He talks about opening up libel laws and like making, you know, all the kind of stuff. He's dabbled around this conversation. He hasn't done much action on it. But he's floating around it, and this is a real
yeah.
high-profile case that can lead the way towards some dangerous stuff, and because Assange is such a divisive figure, it will be effective, probably.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people hate him.
Yeah.
For maybe not the right reasons, maybe some of the right reasons.
Maybe some of the right ones.
Yeah, it's a weird like focal point that I think a lot of people on both sides can like get behind,
yeah.
which isn't a great sign.
But we're going to take a quick break. Speaking of, well, not atrocities committed during war, not taking care of your cat. Skateboarding. Speaking of skateboarding and perhaps even more athletic activities, even more news is brought to you by Fabletics, a great resource for athletic wear that's cute, but don't worry, it's also affordable, but don't worry, it's also comfortable, but don't worry, cute. Again, I personally love their leggings. Great for popping an ollie, withholding information about Russia specifically, and all kinds of stuff. I wore a pair to the dog park today, and let me tell you, I could have totally worked out instead. All you have to do is take a style pop quiz for personalized outfit recommendations and shop from thousands of styles curated for you. All designs are done in-house, and new styles, collections, and prints are released every month. Also, there's no commitment to purchase monthly, so you can skip any month. Just pick your gear and check out as a guest, or become a VIP, in which case you get up to 50% off regular prices, free shipping, and additional perks like their workout series. VIP or not, though, there's free shipping on all orders of $49 or more, and international shipping is available. But even if you're not a VIP, you're listening to Even More News, so you're very important. And right now, Fabletics is offering our listeners an incredible deal. Get two leggings for only $24. It's a $99 value when you sign up to be a VIP. Just go to fabletics.com/morenews to take advantage of this deal now. That's fabletics.com/morenews to get two leggings for only $24.
Also free shipping on orders over $49.
And we're back to talk about Ilhan Omar.
Ilhan Omar.
Again. Here we go again. What's going on this time? I was confused at first because I had missed the buildup to this. I just saw the president tweeting that video. We're going to get to it.
Yeah.
But it wasn't even
a buildup. It was like a sentence.
Right.
Yeah.
So it took me a minute. I'm like, what even caused this to happen? Mm-hmm. Well, last month, Ilhan Omar was speaking at a Council on American Islamic Relations, which is a Muslim civil liberties organization, not a terrorist organization like many people are claiming. Mm-hmm. Then an out of context clip from the speech resurfaced last week and started making the internet rounds, thanks in large part to the GOP's favorite veteran, Dan Crenshaw.
SNL funny man, Dan Crenshaw.
Give it up. The full quote of this clip was actually, here's the truth. For far too long, we have lived with the discomfort of being a second-class citizen, and frankly, I'm tired of it, and every single Muslim in this country should be tired of it. CARE was founded after 9/11 because they recognized that some people did something and that all of us were starting to lose access to our civil liberties.
That is disgusting.
What is?
I can't believe she said that.
Said what?
That is so offensive.
What specifically?
Katie, CARE was founded in 1994.
Ugh, that liar.
To show the disrespect.
Okay, so the thing is that's not what everybody was getting upset about. That's not the part of the quote that bothered them.
Okay.
What they were bothered about is that she said some people did something in regards to 9/11, and they think that she was downplaying.
No, that means that she thinks terrorists are good.
Does it now?
Mm-hmm.
I think I disagree with you completely.
Okay, counterpoint. Have you seen what she looks like?
Gorgeous.
I don't know. She looks like maybe she would think that terrorists are good.
I don't know. I'm not doing the bit anymore.
Yeah, I tweeted
this earlier. It's beside the point. Who cares? Nobody talks about how shockingly beautiful she is. She is exquisite. Beautiful. She takes my breath away sometimes. And, you know, like I said this last week, I love men, but like she does take my breath away. She's so beautiful. Anyway, that's enough about how pretty she is.
Sure,
it doesn't mean anything. But
good. I want to clarify just because we moved to how beautiful she is.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that she looks like she thinks terrorists are good.
I know.
I was doing a bit. And
I know. I'm sorry. I just took it seriously. Because I've been thinking about it a lot.
I assume our listeners are aware of my feelings about that.
It's just interesting for people that spent a large part of last week arguing that Candace Owens' Hitler comments were taken out of context. It's surprising that they don't seem to care about the context of this quote. Elon was talking about how Muslim communities are being targeted, that events like the Christchurch shooting and, you know, all these shootings
the
and hate crimes.
18 years.
But specifically right now, in the last couple years, since Donald Trump has been elected president, how the ratcheting up of Islamophobia, of hate crimes, and that he's exacerbating it, and that the people in power know what their words do, and they do it anyway. You know, it's a very true thing. And so then, you know, what our president does to respond is prove her point. Basically,
every turn, every reaction from these people has proven the point that she's tried to make. Every single thing that she said so far.
Absolutely.
The reaction, the organizational moves, the media reaction, every single thing is like, oh, the thing she just said that you're like pretending to be mad about.
Yeah, totally.
It's true. Very cool.
And in case you guys didn't see it, he tweeted this video, which presumably the White House had made. Mm. I don't know, because he just tweeted it. And it's splicing her speaking with footage of 9/11. Makes me a little emotional because that's so gross. It's so on the nose, terrible. And this is a man who campaigned on a Muslim ban, who obviously hates immigrants, you know?
Yeah, it's on his face disgusting. And I've seen so many, obviously, like right-wing pundit hacks and a lot of conservative media and like Dan Crenshaw. But then the more center folks just talking about this, like, it's not a big deal that he did this video or that they did this video and that it's they keep using this phrase. It's very similar, actually, to when she said not dual loyalty.
No, but they're accusing her of.
Right. They started putting dual loyalty in quotes because they're not words that she said. And they're like literally like lying and misrepresenting it. But then in this case, they're saying criticism isn't incitement. It's just criticism. He's just criticizing.
Bullshit.
Her word, like they're just quoting her words and juxtaposing it with how it's not true. It's a criticism, but that presupposes that a lot of Americans don't hate Muslims and fear them, and that the president didn't literally call to ban all of them from entering the country.
Yeah,
and then you juxtapose it with video of Americans being murdered by people who a lot of Americans think look like Ilhan Omar and associate anyone who looks like that with those people who are some people who did something.
Yes.
It's super gross and dangerous. And anyone framing it like it's just criticism is not a serious person.
Yeah, don't listen to them. Mute them. Look, Elon was already receiving death threats, but now those threats have really ratcheted up. I mean, we look at the last year, we've got pipe bombs being sent to the people that are, you know, quote, enemies of the president. And so this is very real. And then when asked by reporters if he regretted the tweet, Trump doubled down and said, no, not at all. Look, she's been very disrespectful to this country. She's been very disrespectful, frankly, to Israel. She's somebody that doesn't really understand, I think, real life and what it's all about. It's unfortunate. She's got a way about her that's very, very bad, I think, for our country. I think she's extremely unpatriotic and extremely disrespectful to our country. Wow.
She's got a way about her.
She's
got, like,
there's something. I can't put my finger on it.
She's got a way about her.
Maybe it's
that
her.
Makes me.
Skin color. I don't know.
Or, like, something she wears.
It's something she wears on her head. Does she wear something on her head?
I don't know. There's a way about her.
I'm sorry, but who doesn't understand real life here? She's a refugee, and she lived in a refugee camp.
Katie. The noise from windmills cause cancer, all right?
Okay.
That's real life.
Point taken, Cody.
Yeah.
Touche.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I bet he likes skateboarding around his hallways.
Wow.
No, actually, I don't believe that at all. Donald Trump doesn't have knees.
No, he doesn't, actually. He has no knees. We'll do another episode about that in the future, but... can confirm Donald Trump has no need.
The other thing that's been really disappointing, you talked about the people's reaction, is the lack of a quality response from the Democrats, especially Nancy
Most Democrats,
Pelosi.
But especially Nancy Pelosi.
It's hard. It's not hard. I know a lot of people love Nancy Pelosi and they think that she's good at her job. She's not good enough at it. This is part of the job right now, and she's not good enough about it. She tweeted.
He's getting radicalized.
Yeah, this is how I left the center. I don't know. I've never been in the center.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that Nancy Pelosi consistently struggles with speaking out and up and for in defense of
her freshman senators,
specifically Ilhan Omar and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who were also seen together with Nancy Pelosi on the cover of, was it Rolling Stone or Vanity Fair?
One of them.
One of them. In, like, this big celebratory, like, the freshman class and Nancy.
Right. Well,
you know, being a great...
Because, look, she... condemned the president's tweet, but she didn't mention Elon at all. She's not defending her. So that's tacitly saying that there's something true about it. Or, you know, and also this is a person, and she got the sergeant of arms or whatever. She's helped with protection, but she's not making any statements publicly. Also, when you mentioned AOC, this is an interesting little fun fact, Nancy, I guess this week, she said that a glass of water could get elected in AOC's district.
Ew.
I know. She was making the point that we need to not focus on these Democratic districts. She was making the point against leaning into this new super liberal side of our party. She's saying, like, yeah, those districts, those liberal districts can elect people, but, like, we need to think about these other districts that are vulnerable and, you know, and talking about races and policies and whatnot. Yeah. But it is disappointing.
I don't know how much better the context makes it.
No, it doesn't. But the saying a glass of water, that sounds like she was specifically saying AOC stupid. That's not exactly the point that she's making.
Right.
I don't think.
But even the point, even to her actual point, I would counter that with the cheering crowd of Fox News viewers at the Bernie Sanders town hall.
Isn't that interesting? The Bernie Sanders did a town hall.
Cheering crowds of Fox News viewers.
If you guys didn't see that, you should look it up. He did a town hall at Fox News, and I think it was a question about, like, how many people here would want Medicare for all, and the whole room starts cheering.
Yeah. Well, there are so many.
I think that's what the question was.
There were tons of moments like that.
A specific clip that resonated.
Yeah. Well, he basically just rattled off, like, everyone, you know, we're so divisive, but everyone can agree on these things. And he rattled off, like, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, vote, making sure people can vote, all these sort of things that everyone would agree on. And then there was a good exchange literally about Medicare for all. And, like, he was just challenged on, like, how are you going to pay for it? Are you going to have it, too? And he's like, yeah, we're all going to pay for it. It'll be cheaper for everybody.
Right.
And then we'll all have health care. And everyone cheered. And, like, will Congress use it too? Yeah, of course. Everyone cheered.
Yeah.
It's a real delight. Anyway, maybe a glass of water can get elected there. But I can't take this analogy further.
It's okay.
Yeah.
We got to move on to the news dump anyway.
Okay, good.
All right, Notre Dame. I'm sure everybody knows about this, but we'd be remiss if we didn't mention that a catastrophic fire engulfed the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris on Monday. It burned for several hours, destroyed the cathedral's iconic spire and a lot of the roof, most of the roof, before firefighters were able to get under control. Luckily, most of the precious, you know, the artifacts and artwork, stained glass windows were saved because they was already doing renovations and they had removed it. But it was pretty gutting to watch. It's pretty upsetting. This is an iconic symbol of Paris, and it was hard to watch.
Western civilization,
the whole bit. Many conservatives floated the idea that it was a terrorist attack.
Oh, good.
Before
we can talk
there
about
being
that.
Any, let's not talk about it too much because it was not
to.
True.
Yeah, but it's super related to everything we've talked about. It's so gross and transparent. I'll reiterate what I said earlier. Maybe a lot of Americans hate Muslims and will like sort of make any excuse to go after them. And then you have these people like just all these right wing grifter, like conservative people who associate with them. Glenn Beck spent a long time on his show talking about how maybe Muslims did this. Right. Maybe these were radical Islamists who are burning this down. And obviously, like, Stephen Molyneux did, too, and he's going to. That's the kind of person that does that. Don't take him seriously. But, like, a lot of people associate with Glenn Beck. And, like, Rush Limbaugh, I don't know if he did it for this, but he did it for the Christchurch shooting, saying, like, it's a false flag, this and this.
Right.
All these, like, it's so obvious how, like, steep they are and how their ideology is dependent on conspiracy theories.
Right.
And when things like this happen, it just pops up more and more. And there are people that are associated with them that like to, like, toe the line and, like, well, I'm not saying that.
Right, like Ben Shapiro?
Like, I mean,
anyway, let's not get into him.
Yeah,
but yeah.
I didn't want to mention him specifically. But, like, people like that. And then you have, and then they go on Glenn Beck's show and they talk about him. And they're buddy-buddy with him. But then whenever this happens, Glenn Beck's like, hey, did you know that Obama's a secret communist and George Soros is sending the Muslims after us with caravans to do a communism? And it's bonkers, and it's very frustrating.
I agree.
Anyone who associates with these unserious people are taken seriously.
Agree with you completely. Yemen. Trump has vetoed the congressional resolution to end U.S. participation in the war in Yemen.
That's a problem.
He said, quote, this resolution is an unnecessary, dangerous attempt to weaken my constitutional authorities. Interesting. You know, I thought he was going to scale back on the military. That he was the choice that wasn't going to be the warmonger.
He hates war. He's good
he
on
hates
peace.
War.
Great nations do not fight endless wars.
No, they
I
don't.
I believe is the exact quote
is
that
what
he said.
If I'm going by his words, so that's interesting.
One of the few things that one could go, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
But no, apparently great nations do. Also, he was right. Great nations don't do endless wars, and we suck, so we're going to.
Right, so makes sense. Last Thursday, Ohio Governor Mike DeWine signed a law banning abortions after a fetal heartbeat can be detected, which could come as early as 6 weeks into a pregnancy, which I'm, you know, is well before many women would even know that they're pregnant. I'm a woman. I menstruate.
Some men shouldn't write laws.
Our periods
without knowing
are not always regular. 6 weeks is a ridiculous amount of time. Now, Ohio is the third state this year to enact such a bill. And many reasonable people are arguing that this violates Roe v. Wade, which it does.
Yeah. I wonder if there's like a messaging thing like to help with this, because like the heartbeat bill, like that's a very like strong message,
right?
If you're for it,
right?
Like, oh yeah, like that's like, you know, all this kind of stuff. But a simple way to communicate that's before many people know that they're pregnant.
Yeah, like maybe that's it. The before many people know that they're pregnant bill.
The pre-pregnancy bill. The
irregular menstruation bill.
We're not quite there. We'll update as this develops. But there's something there.
There's something there.
Because this is going to happen more and more and more.
Yep.
And not people who talk about it don't mention what you're saying.
Yeah. And finally, a little bit of, I guess this is the update corner. The Mueller report set to be released tomorrow, or rather, whatever it is that we're going to be allowed to see of it.
Sure.
Apparently,
can't wait to not read what people say about it.
Well, you know, there's not much to say right now. This podcast will be out of date immediately because it'll come out. I guess he just said 9:30 tomorrow, so it's very specific. But what's interesting is that apparently a lot of White House officials are very, very worried about the president's ire because they are afraid they're going to be exposed as the source of giving damaging information to the investigation. You know, we're saying, quote, breakdown level of anxiety, I guess, is the quote.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. I just think it's fun because I wonder what they said that they're so anxious about, you know? What are they so worried about?
Yeah.
If there's nothing to be worried about, what are they so worried about?
Why are they so worried? There's nothing to worry about. Why are you so worried? I hope he doesn't. So like this is like a weird double-edged sword for me because when the president starts to chip away at the government and make it smaller because, freedom and so on, that's also a way to consolidate power and how he has more power. And he fires a lot of people really easily.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of acting directors and secretaries, a lot of acting people who have not been confirmed Congress.
That's correct. We talked about this before, but that's a way to circumnavigate the whole congressional thing.
A lot of them who have not been approved indefinitely. And stuff like this where it's like, oh, yeah, this person leaked and this person leaked. I'm firing everybody. You're all fired. And then he's got a smaller team and they're more loyal because they don't want to get fired. You get a smaller and more loyal team, and then you do more crimes because you're the crime guy. Anyway.
Good point.
Thanks, Professor Mueller.
All right, guys. Well, that's the end of the news portion of this podcast. So you crazy kids, you don't want to talk about Game of Thrones. You get on out of here.
Yes.
Get
scram,
on, get.
Go kick rocks.
Give them time to leave. Okay, we're back.
Wait. If you're still here. Yeah. And you're going to leave for the Game of Thrones. We love you very much.
We love you very much.
Now go kick rocks.
Yeah. First time we've done something like this. Mm-hmm. We're thinking of maybe adding for the Patreon, doing some more pop culture casts. We'll come up with a title.
Perfect.
So perfect. So we're just running through this. I didn't feel good, so I didn't type up my notes. I handwrote them. So we'll see what happens now.
Wow.
I closed my computer and I'm just looking at my terrible sketching cratch. Woo!
Mm-hmm.
On fire. We're going to run through the show and then we're going to talk about some things. First, Jon returns to Winterfell with Dany and her entire entourage. The whole shot is kind of reminiscent of the opening of the show, of the pilot, or not the opening, but of the pilot when the Lannisters are coming to Winterfell. Kind of the most screen time Missy and Missandei and Grey Worm get. They kind of get some like racist looking glances from those townspeople. So that's interesting. Then we see Jon reunite with Bran, which was really sweet for a moment until Bran talked. And then it was very funny to see Jon's face as soon as Bran said one word. He was like, what the fuck happened to you?
It was great.
What that face read to me.
I
laughed out loud.
Did you? I liked it because I was waiting for.
I did laugh because I just think Bran's so weird.
He's a super weird kid. It's great. It was funny, but I guess I haven't rewatched them. I didn't rewatch them.
Oh, yeah. I just rewatched the show.
So it was interesting because I obviously remember what happens in the show and I'm familiar with the story, but having not rewatched it, there are some things that happened that I think if you did, you would expect more. Not like it came out of the blue or surprised me, but you just watched the previous season. You're like, all right, they're going to go back. They're going to reunite. Everyone's here. These are all the places and they're going to have the meeting and then we're going to move on. For me, it was just like, oh, yeah, watching Game of Thrones again, putting it on. Oh, Jon's back. Oh, Jon hasn't been here in so long.
So that's like
Jon hasn't seen Bran since he left.
Very satisfying
for
you.
It was so satisfying. It was very emotional. I really, really enjoyed the moment when he saw him and the horse got faster. It's like let's go, let's rush over there.
Yeah.
And they had their embrace, and so it was in real time, doing that. I was very happy for them. And then my thought was, oh no, Bran's weird now. What's gonna happen? And then he spoke, and I was like, oh god, that's so sad. So I had a journey that wasn't. I think I was less prepared for the stuff
that
we prepared for.
That makes sense.
So you thought things were funnier than I did.
Yeah. Also, I should say, It's hard because my first impressions were a little ruined. I shouldn't watch with friends.
Oh, yeah. Don't watch
friends,
TV with friends.
I was trying to be having fun with them. But then they talked the whole time.
Absolutely. I know.
At one point, my friend was like, am I talking too much? And I just didn't say anything.
Wait, did anyone answer?
Nobody did. But then she's like, ha ha ha. And then she kept doing it. I love her. She's not listening.
That's so funny, though. Am I talking too much?
We discussed having rules if we do this again. All right. Other things during this part. Sansa's not having it, by the way, is not having Dany be there. I'm so proud of her. She's grown so much over the seasons. I know she comes across as a little cold right now, but she's somebody, she's the only member of the Stark family that actually knows how to play this game.
Oh, yeah.
She has lived through torturous situations. She's been sold to different men. She's, you know, and everybody always, Tyrion even says it, underestimates her. Mm-hmm. And she has really come into her own. And so I think that's pretty cool to see. That conversation that she has with Tyrion was interesting. I had a problem with it because it does feel last season and this season that the writers have kind of lost the thread since George R.R. Martin's not writing it anymore or helping out or it's not his stories. The fact that Sansa tells Tyrion, I used to think you were the cleverest person in the world, and he didn't even cross, it doesn't even cross his mind that Cersei's not going to send troops to support them.
Right.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Like it was disappointing to me. Because I expect more from this character.
They've lost, I think, a lot. I was very noticeable in the previous season.
Yes, it was.
The goggles were on for this because it's been so long. Yeah. You're excited to see it again.
Yeah.
There was a moment at the very beginning, I think, is very representative of this. And kind of, like you were saying, like it's a mirror of the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
So like the beginning of the show, you have Robert coming in, and then people always talk about how Game of Thrones like subverts all your expectations. It's like the anti-storytelling. They killed Ned Stark at the beginning.
Right.
And whenever I hear that, I'm like, well, no, Ned Stark is Obi-Wan. You kill him, and then like,
so it wasn't the beginning. It was the end of the first season.
You build it up, but like long form, like they're telling a pretty traditional story with some surprises along the way. But that first scene, you have Robert and Ned meet. You don't really know what's going on. And they have that moment where like they're kind of glaring at each other and like sizing each other up. And then they burst out laughing. To me, that's like, that's just a you see that everywhere. Like that's that one scene we see in every single movie or show like this, where you have the tension and they break up. Oh, we're playing.
Well, we certainly every single reunion here.
Right. But and like, so first of all, nobody ever does that in real life. That's a completely like made up thing that always takes me out of it. Like you haven't seen this person in a while. You know, this is a bit you do with your friends, your long lost friends. You like size each other up and you like glare at each other. You've like planned this bit ahead of time. It's very weird. And I think it's representative of that issue with Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. It's always been there. But then this season starts, and the first line is about how one of the characters doesn't have his balls anymore.
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, it was so pithy. That's the thing. That's the other thing I wrote down, is that it just feels like they've gotten more quippier and quippier.
It's, even the, like, I drink and I know things, where it's like, that's the shades of a Tyrion line.
Yep.
But it's...
I agree with you completely. Mm-hmm. Speaking of your reunions, comes up next is Arya and Jon reunion, which was very satisfying for me.
I was very satisfied.
But they did do that thing where it's like keeping you at arm's distance for two beats, and then all of a sudden they're rushing into each other's arms. But that was satisfying. That's probably the one that I was the most excited for. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I really loved about it is that despite her obvious allegiance and loyalty to Jon, she has Sansa's back for the first time. Mm-hmm. For the first time in the show, the whole last season, if you remember, was very bizarre, really. Yeah. Plot line of
well,
Sansa
they were playing
and Arya.
They were playing the other people, it's and like they were teamed up, and then it's
unclear if they always were playing Littlefinger last season.
Well, that's
or if
because
there
it was bad storytelling.
Because it was bad storytelling.
Very good at,
but I don't think that it was the entire time. But who knows? But regardless, Arya.
It culminated with them being on the same team.
It culminated. Absolutely. And I really liked that out of the gate, Arya doesn't even flinch. She's got Sansa's back. She's like, I love you, Jon, but Sansa's the smartest person I know, and I'm not going to gang up on her with you. And you have to think about that. obviously, from our perspective, we're like, yeah, the White Walkers are coming and if he needs to make this allegiance with Dany. But from their perspective, that's he's their king. And then he came back and he's not a king.
To life.
And came back to life. There's also that. But and all these troops are coming. And how are they going to feed them? And what's happening? So,
yeah, Sansa's on the ball.
It's understandable.
Jon's been gone for a long time.
And then we go to Cersei, who meets with Euron Greyjoy and the guy from the Golden Company, whatever his name is. Euron, I used to think he reminded me of Rob Thomas from Matchbox 20.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But no, he's a little bit more pacey, a little more Joshua Jackson, in my opinion. Regardless, leave it. I take it or leave it, I leave it.
Yeah, you're not, you're
on
done.
On Euron. Yeah.
It's like, whatever.
So ultimately, you know, he came because he wants to fuck the queen. She wasn't going to fuck him. And then she does. She takes him back and he fucks him. And he promises to put a prince in her belly. And she has a moment because we know that she does have a baby. Mm-hmm. Unless she doesn't. Because this is where it gets confusing. Last season, Tyrion realizes that Cersei's pregnant because she's not drinking wine. First of all, did they not drink back then? I mean, people were drinking wine in the 60s here when they were pregnant. It's very recent. Anyway, she's at this time, she stops drinking wine. And then in this scene, she is drinking wine. So I guess there's a question about whether or not she is still pregnant.
Or she's lost everything.
Yes, she has. Well, she did it, but...
Yeah, but she's lost everything. There's some sort of prophecy. It's like, yeah, you're all doomed and stuff.
All of her kids were going to die and she was going to get killed by Jaime, strangled.
And obviously her relationship with Jaime's on the rocks.
Yeah, he's left.
So her whole world is gone. Everything she loves is gone. Now she's like in bed with this Matchbox 20 fellow.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, the whole wine thing, I don't think that she's necessarily not pregnant. I think she doesn't give a shit anymore.
Yeah.
I think she's done. I think she understands, like, this kid, all my kids are dead. It was told to me that all my kids are going
to
die.
Well,
so this
it was told to her that she'd have three kids and they would three golden haired kids and they'd all die. But it's already not true. She actually's had four kids because she had a black haired beauty with.
Okay, so
with
it's just
King.
The blonde one.
I it's hard to know. That's just weird
also,
to know with
this,
that prophecy.
This is Jamie's kid too, right?
It should theoretically.
So,
we don't actually know, but yes, she said so.
So theoretically, this child is theirs and would be golden haired and. So I think probably in her mind, the kid's already doomed and she's not going to
Maybe.
Have it. And the world is doomed and she doesn't care.
And what's she doing?
Revenge. Spite.
Yeah.
Like that's, you know, like I think that she is in burn the world mode.
Yeah.
And less like protect from the White Walkers or do alliance or save my child. So, yeah, I'll have some wine.
Right.
I
hear you.
This weirdo and. Everything I love is gone, so I'm gonna drink wine now.
Yeah, and she's probably like hedging her bet. So okay, Jaime left, so now she could say that if she still has the kid.
Lannister always hedges their bets,
you know, like they say. And then somehow Theon manages to rescue Yara off of Euron's ship, bafflingly easily. What the hell? I was very disappointed.
Oh really?
I was there. It was like 2 seconds, and he just. That's where she would be hidden. That's how she would be protected. She was given as a gift to the queen. And she's...
I mean, didn't last season end with him being like, I'm going to save her? And
yes.
You know, like,
and
so,
you would imagine that it would be much harder than just running onto a ship and cutting her ties loose.
I don't know, man. He's pretty hardcore. He just got broken, you know? And he's repaired and he's like capable. And
this was something I hated about it. I tweeted this and I just need a minute to talk about it because I know that most of you will disagree with me. I have a soft spot in my heart for Theon Greyjoy. And I know that's very not Katie Stoll like. And I know that he was worse in the books. When did I develop this?
Yeah.
It's mostly just that. I mean, he's irredeemable. You can't forgive what he's done. He killed two innocent boys, had them pretend to be Rickon and Bran. You know, he took Winterfell. He betrayed Robb's trust. Like, there's no forgiving that. But it just is kind of heartbreaking that he was a spoil of that first war that never should have happened and was taken from his home. And he grew up displaced, not knowing who he was. And he was trying to help Robb. And then he... was cut down, and he was trying to make his father proud too. And for the first time he saw in a long time, he's seen his actual father, and he wants to make his family and his father proud. And he wants to prove to them that he is Ironborn, and he does this reprehensible thing and continues to pay for it. And then he helps Sansa. He helps her escape. He does show, and you know that he's got PTSD from all that shit. He just is kind of heartbreaking and pathetic that over and over again, he's just very weak and scared. And it is cool to see him coming through that to help his sister. He's not my favorite character. I'm just saying that, like, I don't look at him and think pure evil. I look at him and think broken.
Yeah, I think that's most of them. I think it's sad. I mean, the plays, the moves of the Game of Thrones make monsters of us all, you know?
Moving along. Varys, Stavros, and Tyrion discuss getting Jon and Dany engaged.
I gotta, okay, we'll do the Varys thing. I'm not over it. The first line is about his balls.
Yeah.
And then there's a quip, and then the third line is about his balls. It's like,
they're doing a terrible job.
So,
and last season too.
It's just so bad.
It's very disappointing.
And not even just in the with the Varys scenes, which they really lean heavily on it, way more than they ever did. But like, it's your first lines of dialogue for your last show. You're gonna oh, HBO, we say whatever, we got a eunuch, we're gonna look at it.
It's
embarrassing. And like
those bits,
I was like excited, and the first line happens, like, wait, I went back because I was like, did I miss another scene where like there was a better scene? They started with a better scene and then they did this. I think it's also super appropriate because the show, in a way, feels like it's lost its balls or its oves.
Okay. Okay. I hear what you're putting out there.
So they're like, it's like the same thing with that first scene of the first season. It's like just a little too on the nose of representing what happens to the show and what the show is about.
I agree with you. But in this scene, they're discussing what needs to happen and that a marriage would be a good idea. And they, you know, Tyrion says they make a handsome couple, talking about Dany and Jon. They talk about whether or not they should just be the ones to tell them. And they're like, oh, they don't like to listen to old people. Mm-hmm. And then Varys said this line, and I'm going to highlight it because who knows, is this foreshadowing? Mm-hmm. He says, we remind them of an unpleasant truth that nothing lasts. And so for me, I was like, oh, I don't know. Interesting. Is nothing going to last?
Oh, yeah, that's
for them.
Mm. I mean, probably refers to a lot of things.
Of course it does. But I meant specifically regarding their
For sure.
Love affair.
I think, well, we'll get to it.
We'll get to that. Then Dany basically threatens Sansa and her loyalty to Jon. Interesting, considering we know that she burned up all those other dudes that didn't want to bend the knee. Mm-hmm. We find out that the dragons...
we mentioned that later, too.
We do. We're going to get to it.
Everything's connected.
Connected.
Good job, Joe. You're actually... That was good of you.
No, it was good of you for figuring it out. Mm. Find out the dragons aren't eating, and so they go to visit them. And then, in perhaps the most baffling scene to me, Dany just flippantly, like, basically dares Jon to get on a dragon, as if anybody's ever done that. Like, this is a beast that could kill him very easily. And we know what that means, right? You know that if you're going to ride the dragon, you're a Targaryen. Like, and she's just like, I don't know. You never know till you try it, kind of an attitude, which is either, I guess it's just bad writing.
So like, I think that they do this a lot where like, they've got the core of like, there's something you could do with that, but then they have corny stuff like that or like some anachronistic language sometimes where it's like, that's not a phrase you say on the Game of Thrones. It's like, no one has ever used that phrase in Westeros.
She cares about this man, presumably.
I think there's probably something deeper and magical about it, and she like feels this connection and trust in him. He literally came back to life, you know?
It was just treated in a way that I didn't think was a disappointment for something that we've been waiting for this whole series.
John to derive a
goddamn dragon.
Yeah,
and then,
it's funny because I actually kind of tuned out at that part. I was like, all right, it's flying around.
But then... the longest, corniest dragon ride you could ever... I maybe you guys disagree with me, but I was almost expecting them to start singing A Whole New World up there. But it would make an incredible...
'Tis the season.
Incredible ride at Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
John, I tweeted about it. Disney doesn't own the property, but
it would be fun.
It would be a really cool,
that.
I can imagine, with like cold wind. And
yeah, you do A Whole New World, but you got your lightsaber and you're also a dragon. And Captain Marvel is there. It's all of them. And The Simpsons, too. Disney owns everything.
Disney owns everything. Moving along. They have that moment by the waterfall. The dragon stares real creepily. I get it. We all have pets. And then we see Gendry. Gendry is working with the dragon glass, yeah. making them into weapons, which is cool because that's full circle as to why mm-hmm. we have Gendry here, why we had to go back and get him last season. And then Arya returns. Mm. And we've got two reunions in one, yeah. Arya and the Hound and Arya and Gendry. They
all three of
are
them love each
gonna
other.
Fuck. No, Arya and Gendry definitely have a thing.
Oh, yeah.
I always really liked Arya and the Hound. That was one of my favorite pairs. Mm-hmm. And despite how they talk about each other, they love each other.
I mean, it was so apparent when, I mean, he smiled at her.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there were... I mean,
and like
there's a difference between like the Hound smile and like the Hound seeing Arya smile.
Yeah.
He like was like, you left me, but he like was like, yeah.
You're a cold bitch, aren't you?
Yeah.
I guess that's why you're still alive. And you know, she did leave him to die, but she also left him to live.
I was waiting for her to say something like that.
I left you to live.
Yeah. Instead of,
she
I also
doesn't
stole
care.
From you, you piece of shit.
I know, but that's why we like her. Yeah. So that was satisfying.
Your brother's a monster.
And then we get the scene with Jorah and Dany. Jorah, zero lines in this episode, basically. And they happen upon Samwell Tarly and accidentally stumble into telling him that she killed his father and his brother.
That was really sad. It got so sad.
It was pretty dang sad. It was very sad. It was upsetting. And I mean, it's a tough situation. Mm. She didn't have to burn him.
I'm wondering how reflective this episode and then following couple will make her.
Yeah, so this was a question I was going to save for the end, but we're just figuring this out as we go right now. Is Dany the villain now?
I think she's always been.
You think
villain.
She's always
yeah.
been the villain? Because I haven't thought of her as a villain until towards the end of last season and then this season. But it didn't really feel like the show treated her like one. Mm-hmm. And now this episode makes me feel like they are treating her like one or setting the stage for that.
Yeah.
And so that's, I think that's something big to watch out for.
Oh, yeah. She's always had shades of it.
Well, that's what makes her interesting and with her history. But
yeah. But even at the beginning, I think that it was always like, to me, it was always an option.
Right.
Like, unclear where they're going to take it. But like, yep, Song of Ice and Fire. There, I could see that happening, and then more and more tense situations, and like, she's not like all these events happening, and then John's gonna have the talk with her. And
well, yeah, it's gonna be interesting. So then, okay, Sam goes, finds Bran, who's just waiting outside for someone, and Bran tells him, "You have
to." Reason. Like, you know the reason.
I know the reason. No, for someone, but someone specific. Yeah. Sends. Tell Sam now's the time. Go tell John. And he does. He tells John. It's another thing we've been really waiting and looking forward to. It's hard, these moments that have been built up. In a way, you just kind of have to get through them. Like, we got to share this information. They've got to have these reunions. He's got to ride the dragon before we can move on with the story. So, like, that was a pretty good scene.
I think... It was a good pairing for it. There was a weird amount of like anger in John, like bubbling underneath when he found out. And a lot of it was related to who he thought was his dad and stuff like that. But like, because it was Sam, I think it softened him.
Yeah.
And so it was interesting to see him sort of fight that because of his friendship with Sam. And sort of struggle with all the feelings he was dealing with coming out of that. So I think that was a good pairing and a pretty good way to do it.
Well,
but it's like I don't think you ever seen Lost.
No.
But like, one of those problems was also like, this person knows this, this person knows this. You're separating them for as long as you can. But eventually, you're both going to have to tell each other that information.
Yeah.
And we as the audience have been waiting for that
right.
for
so
long.
Right, and it gets
long.
So built up.
So like when you do it, it's like, just say it. We all know. Like they know.
But it was good. I feel like that was good context also.
Yeah.
So we juxtapose the way Dany rules and the way John would rule.
Yeah.
And this, you know, we all assumed that he's going to be with Dany, but now I don't know, you know.
Well, and Sam... his word and his advice weighs pretty heavy on John.
Yeah.
For good reason. Yeah, he's a very moral character.
Pretty moral.
Pretty moral.
Well, my problem doesn't matter. I'm not going to get into it. Okay, last season, when the information came forward, when he and Bran were talking about, oh, actually, he had his marriage annulled, and because Bran is saying John is Rhaegar's bastard, and then Sam's like, wait a minute, I happened upon this information in the Citadel. Rhaegar annulled his marriage. He's the true king to Westeros. No, Sam, you didn't find that information. Gilly did. Gilly did. You lied. Gilly found it.
Wasn't he protecting her?
Like, no, he should have. He could have just. He said, I happened upon it in my research. That's a lie. Gilly did. And you didn't even listen to her. You dismissed her when she brought it up. It was very weird. Anyway, we love Sam. It was probably just bad writing.
Yeah. And I thought he was like protecting her because like she's definitely not allowed. He's way more allowed. But I think that having Sam and Danny next to John will be interesting to watch.
Yes.
Because we all know, again, like, this isn't like a fancy new kind of story. John is Luke Skywalker. So we know how he's going to choose. It's just a matter of whether or not Danny will allow him to do that. Will she let him do what we know he will do?
Right. And so that's interesting. That's exciting new conflict coming to light here that we have only 5 episodes to resolve. Mm-hmm. Then real quick, because this is taking longer than I thought, but it's fun, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Tormund and Beric and whomever the guy that now leads the Night's Watch reunite, and then they find little Ned Umber pinned to the wall, and he's now a wight and awakens in the truly terrifying scream, and they burn him up, and they piece together that the White Walkers are now somewhere between where they are and Winterfell, and so they ride off to warn.
Thing on the wall, made of arms? Was it made of arms?
Yeah, well,
meat?
We saw that. We saw that image. I can't remember what season. Was it season 5? I don't know. When they did it with horses, I believe. And so that's like their symbol.
Ah, the benefit of watching it.
Of rewatching it. Terrifying. Honestly, I thought that all those dudes were dead, or at least Tormund was, because at the end of last season, when the ice dragon melts the wall and it falls down, they're on top of the wall, or they're very high up it when they see it, and they start running.
Yeah, it's chaos.
And and we don't actually see them die, but there's no way they could have gotten out of that wall, but they weren't. They did, and they weren't killed, and I'm happy for it because I like him. Finally, we see a mysteriously black hooded man making his way up to the Winterfell, and he dismounts and he pulls back his head, and we reveal Jaime Lannister, who immediately locks eyes with creepy Bran, who has been waiting for him all night. If Bran knows everything,
may I?
Yes,
Crazen Bran.
That's good. Crazen Bran out there.
Is that ableist?
I don't know.
It's definitely a pun. You guys can
let us know. He just waited all night in the snow for him. And it's weird because he knows everything at all times, but he didn't know what time he'd arrive. You know? That just really stuck out to me.
okay.
Well, he does. It's just weird the
He's
things
a
that
he. Raven. It's weird.
To know, it's weird that he knows everything and yet doesn't know some things, is my point
he's
that I'm making.
He's still working out.
He's still learning. I've heard people talking about that a lot. And I think the argument is that he wasn't quite ready to be the three-eyed raven. So he's probably still gathering.
Yeah, it's rushed. Clogged up, right? With memories. So you wanted to talk about elephants.
Did I want to talk about elephants?
Yeah, you mentioned it.
Oh, I don't. I just asked if you thought that was funny, that beat. Because the first time I laughed, or I thought it was funny the first time she said, I'm disappointed you didn't bring elephants. And then later on in the room again, she looks so upset. She's like, I really wanted to see elephants or whatever it is. And then I laughed. And it's not important unless you have an important thing to say about the elephants.
Not important. In retrospect, I think it's funny.
Yeah.
It's good and it makes sense to me. She knows that
she wanted a magical
dragon.
She wanted a big beast of her own. But elephants aren't like...
These elephants are. The Westeros elephants.
Are fighting elephants.
Have you seen... Haven't they shown them? They've shown like the army with some of the elephants.
They're big beasts.
They're huge and menacing. And she wanted to match it up because she's petty and she wants to burn the world, but she wants to look powerful doing it.
Let's talk about just a couple things. So I brought up, is Dany the villain now? Mm-hmm. We're going to sit on that. Does Tyrion love Dany? Because the people keep asking that question. I think so. You think that he's in love with Dany?
I don't know how
they
I would
say,
phrase it.
They say that, especially since at the end of last season when Jon and Dany were hooking up, and he was like weirdly standing outside their room underneath stairs listening in some way.
Right, it was either he's disappointed and like he's worried because they're siblings.
Yeah.
Or he's like, I'm jealous of the...
Well, he doesn't know they're siblings. I think that, to me, it just doesn't make sense. It's just, that would be really disappointing to me, actually. Mm. Now, apparently...
Isn't he also maybe a Targaryen?
No, I don't think so.
I've heard rumors of that.
I think that was because she still had three dragons and they're like, who would be the third? And so then there was rumors of that. But I don't believe there's any, it would be very hard to reveal that in the remaining episodes.
Kind of, really dumb because it would ruin everything. It ruins his relationships with every single person in the show.
But I just, it never scans for me that he is, but it's just something interesting that to look out for because it might be a plot development that, that happens.
I think he's probably struggling with feelings like that.
Yeah.
He's a lover, not a fighter, you know.
Is Bran the Night King?
Maybe.
You don't know the answer?
I don't know the answer.
God, I was hoping you knew the answer. Doesn't make sense, but then not a lot of the whole Three-Eyed Raven stuff does make sense. It's unclear to me if he changes the past or if he doesn't. But then he went back and like he was learning and that's when he affected Hodor. So it's like there's some sort of time loop that's happening here where he was already involved in the things that in the past that have come.
Right, because it's not linear to him. He can pop in and out like a sort of n-dimensional being.
Right.
And, like, influence things that he knows will influence him even though he doesn't exist yet and things like that.
Because, you know, and the Night King does look kind of like Bran. And also, it's interesting, like, where is... And I've heard this brought up. Where is he going? Where is the Night King going? The Night King could have killed Jon plenty of times already. If he killed a dragon, he could have killed Jon. What is it that we have a lot to learn about what their goals are, what it is that they want specifically.
Yeah, I would say, yes. But also probably, he wants to sit on the Iron Throne probably, right? Mm-hmm. But also... Probably hasn't killed John because he wants to turn him.
Maybe.
Because John is, forget his real name, Aegon?
Yeah, he's Aegon now.
So Aegon is...
And what was that whole R plus L equals J? They should have done R plus L equals A. Anyway, continue. Okay. That carving on the tree. Anyway, continue.
So Aegon is what one might describe as the special boy.
Yeah.
The magic special child.
Yeah.
Who will save all, come back to life, all this magic stuff going around him. He's very significant mythologically in this world. So, yeah, you want to turn that guy into your Ice King. You want him to be the made of ice.
Interesting.
So then he'll be the most powerful and can rule with a, cold iron fist or whatever on a cold iron throne. Look, I don't know. I need to...
I'm waiting for
another, like, magic episode.
Yeah, we don't know.
You know? Where there's, some weird stuff and go, oh, what's that?
So we know that next episode there's going to be some sort of trial based on the trailers for the next regarding Jaime. And we also know it seems clear that the third episode will be a battle episode where presumably the dead reach Winterfell.
Yeah.
So things are going to
fall.
Winter will have fallen. So that's what was your favorite part of the episode? What was your favorite reunion? How about that?
And how many of you have stuck around
till now
on this podcast?
We don't know.
We don't know. I guess there's no way to know.
Mm-mm, there isn't. Mm. What was your favorite reunion?
My favorite reunion was probably Bran.
Okay.
Just because it was the first one.
Right,
and
right.
It got me back into the show.
Uh-huh.
Because I also put off watching it because it's like, sit down and watch an hour of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
But it's been so long and you sort of like forget like, oh yeah, like I'm immersed now.
I like this show. Yeah.
And so the Bran one was like, oh yeah. You got me right in the feelings.
Yeah.
Then he said a weird thing. I was like, oh yeah, the show's good.
His face was, his reaction was so good. Mine was John and Arya.
It's good. Also for good. Sure. That got me too.
Yeah. I also liked Theon and Yara. Yeah. Their reunion, because then she just punched him in the face or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Elbowed him.
Basically every single John reunion, because it all came rushing back.
And what's the thing that you, what was your least favorite thing? You didn't like the quippy Varys stuff?
I thought the first three lines were, to borrow a phrase, absolute balls. And really represents the decline of the writing on the show.
Mine is a tie.
Unless they were pointing at it and being like, see, we like are worse now.
Don't you love that about us? It's fun.
Isn't it great?
Mine's a tie between John's extra long dragon ride. I just could have had it be a whole lot less and less corny.
I hear that too.
And more time for other things. And the fact that Brienne was basically a featured extra.
Mm-hmm.
She was just there standing.
She was just there.
And I love Brienne. Mm-hmm. So I was disappointed by Brienne. That. Okay, we don't know what we're doing, but this was fun.
This was a podcast about the news.
And then a podcast about Game of Thrones.
Yeah. I think that it was fun and a nice change of pace for me personally, instead of talking about the horrible things.
But let us know what it is that you'd like us to do when we're talking about the future episodes, because we're so on the news train right now. Mm-hmm. You know, and is this too long? Do you want it shorter? I mean, those are valid questions.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, yeah, I think also it's very clear, like, we started talking about the show and like, oh yeah, it was exciting to talk about some stuff we love sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm excited to do it, but give us your feedback on how to do it, because we're figuring it out. Not that I'm not confident in my choices, but just because I want to give you what you want and make your time good.
there it is, yeah.
Do you have anything else to add on Game of Thrones?
I have nothing else to add about Game of Thrones.
I'll have much more to add next week on Game of Thrones.
Oh, bringing it back. Last week, Hillary Clinton said something about like, oh, politics is kind of like Game of Thrones. And it made me roll my eyes until they fell out of my brain.
Pick them up and put them back in. Yuck.
Got him. Got him back in.
All right. We love you very much.
Yep.